We're going to be looking at two scripture passages today. The first is a New Testament reading from Matthew chapter 20. And the second is an Old Testament reading from Isaiah chapter 40. Matthew 20 and Isaiah 40. Please listen as I read these two stories. Matthew 20, beginning at verse 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet. But they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped and called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. Then from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 8. "Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.' Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." A voice says, "Cry out." And I said, "What shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever." People of God, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? It's a popular question this time of year, isn't it? It's a question that gets asked quite often during the Christmas season. What do you want? What do you want? Grandparents ask it of their grandkids. Parents ask it of their kids. Spouses ask it of their spouses. Retailers ask it of their customers. What do you want? What do you want for Christmas? What do you want? This was the question that Jesus asked the two blind men in our text for today. As Jesus and his disciples and the crowd that was with them were making their way along the road from Jericho to Jerusalem, there were two blind men that were sitting alongside of the road. And when they realized that it was Jesus and his disciples that were passing by, that it was them who was coming down the road, they cried out to him. They cried out to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." This got the crowd with Jesus all excited, and they start to rebuke him. Say, "You know, be quiet.
quiet. Leave him alone. This just made the blind man cry out all the louder.
Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us.
Then we read that Jesus stopped.
He stopped what he was doing, and he called out to them. What do you want? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want?
It's a question that forces us to assess our situation and to identify the needs in our lives. And given the variety of needs that are in this room, coupled with the needs of those that we know and love, that we work with, that we live with in our neighborhoods, this simple question of what do you want, as we just saw in the video, may not be as easy to answer as we initially think. What do you want this morning? For some of us, like the blind men along the road, we may have physical needs that we want changed. We're sick. We're dealing with cancer or chronic pain. We have an ongoing medical condition that we're living with. We want healing. Others of us may have emotional needs, things going on in our hearts and in our souls. We may be sad this morning. We may be depressed. We may be grieving today the death of someone that we love. Still others of us here this morning might have relational needs. We don't have any good friends at school. We have family members who are estranged. We haven't talked to in a long, long time. We may have conflict with the person we're sitting to right next to this morning. Some of us might have spiritual needs. We're wondering, does God care about me? Does God care about me? Where is God right now? Where is He? Other of us might have financial needs. We're struggling to get by. Trying to make the payments, trying to pay the mortgage or rent. Money's tight right now. When someone asks you, what do you want, it forces you to examine. What do I need? What do I need? What do I need? But this question, what do you want, it also opens up possibility for change, doesn't it? It opens up a new reality, something different. It offers hope. When Jesus stopped along that road in front of the blind man that day and asked them, what do you want from me? Jesus opened a door of possibility to them. By asking the question, Jesus demonstrates his compassion and his care for them. By asking the question, Jesus also opens up the possibility for something new, something different. What do you want is kind of like it's a hand that's being extended. It's a helping hand. It's a hand of hope. It says, I'm willing to help make things different for you. I'm willing to try and make things better. It opens up the door for us to answer, what do I want changed? What would I like to be different if someone could and would
help me out. What do you want is a question of hope. But it's also a question that requires a meaningful answer, doesn't it? Given my needs, given what I'm dealing with, is what I want going to address? Is it going to satisfy? Is it going to fulfill that need? Is what I want actually going to help me out? So many of the things that we want or that we desire, they fall short of fulfilling our needs, don't they? Children and their ever-changing wants illustrate this so well for us, don't they? They want the toy that their sister has that she's currently playing with so bad. They want it, they want it, they want it, they want it. But when it's finally their turn and they get it and they play with it, what happens after 10 minutes? They lose interest, right? And it gets cast off to the side. What they wanted so badly just a few minutes ago, they don't care about anymore. It didn't satisfy. And as we grow up and get a little taller, we still wrestle with dealing with and desiring and wanting things that fall short of satisfying and fulfilling the needs of our hearts. iPads, cars, clothes, Legos, toys, and money. These things, they're all limited in what they can offer us, aren't they? These things that we want, we want, we want, we want, they're limited in their ability to satisfy and fulfill those deep desires and wants of our hearts. In the video that we just watched, I could see it and I could hear it in some of the answers that people gave. Could you? Could you hear it? When asked, "What do you want?" people said, "I want stability. I want stability. I want peace. I want health. I want my family to just get along. I want happiness. I want happiness." And I suspect if each one of us stood in front of the camera, we would want some of those same things too. Therefore, we need to ask, who or what can bring the stability, can bring the peace, can bring the healing, can bring the happiness and the peace that we deeply long for? Who can provide that? What can provide that for our hearts? Who or what can fulfill those deep desires, those wants of our hearts? The psalmist in Psalm 37, verse 4 says this. He says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 40, reminds us that only God can provide the ultimate comfort, healing, and peace that we long for. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill be made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The prophet Isaiah reminds us, in the midst of all our needs and all our wants, that there is one who is coming, one that will bring deliverance. One who is coming, who will both overcome and who will remove whatever may prevent or hinder this deliverance. Whether it's a valley, whether it's a mountain, whether it's rough ground, or whether it's a rugged place, whatever obstacle may be in your way, there is one who is coming who will raise things up and will smooth them out. There is one who is coming who will bring comfort. Comfort to the brokenhearted. Comfort to those who are poor in spirit. Comfort to those who are lonely. Comfort to those who are sick. Comfort to those who mourn. Comfort to those who are estranged. Comfort to those who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is that there is one who came. There is one who came who put an end to our hard service. And who is that one? That one is Jesus. It's Jesus. How does Jesus bring us comfort? The Heidelberg Catechism reminds us of how in question and answer 1, where it says this. It says, Jesus brings comfort because He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood. And He has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to Him, Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. How does Jesus bring comfort? He brings comfort by fully paying for all my sins and all your sins and all the sins of the world, the things that hurt us, the things that harm us, the things that separate us, that divide us, the things that create those deep needs in our hearts. He brings comfort by paying for all that, by taking it all upon Himself. He also brings comfort by setting us free, by setting us free from the tyranny of the devil, from his schemes and his lies. He sets us free. He sets us free. Jesus brings us comfort by showing us the way, by showing us the truth, by showing us the life, John tells us. He sets us free by showing us a new way. Therefore, Isaiah says what? He says, prepare. Prepare a way for the Lord. Make straight a highway for our God. In the midst of all your planning and party preparations this Christmas season, Isaiah says, prepare. Prepare a way for the Lord. Prepare a way for the Lord. Prepare a way for Him to enter in, for Him to come into your heart, for Him to come into your life, for Him to speak to those needs, and those wants, and those longings. As you prepare for all those other things, also prepare for the Lord so that you can receive Him. In the midst of all your shopping, in the midst of all your hustle and bustle, in the midst of all your traveling to and fro, Isaiah says, make straight a highway. Make straight a highway for our God. Make straight a highway for our God. Prepare a way for Him. Allow Him to come on in. Why? Because it's only Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can fulfill and satisfy those deep longings, those longings that you have. Only He can heal. Only He can forgive. Only He can restore and mend. People of God, what do you want? What do you want for Christmas? What are the needs and the longings of your heart this morning? To whom? To what are you looking to fulfill those needs? To fulfill those longings of your heart? Where are you looking for comfort this morning? Would you pray with me? Father, as we begin this Advent season, speak to our hearts. Lord, we have needs. Lord, we have longings. Lord, we have wants. During this Christmas season, Lord, speak to us about where it is that we are looking for comfort, about where we are looking for fulfillment. Enable us to prepare a way. Enable us to make a highway, to make room for you in our hearts and lives this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
On this first Sunday of Advent, as we wrestle with many wants, we hear these words from Isaiah 40.
Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins.
A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
We have many wants, but what we need is you, God.
You can have a seat. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you, given for the complete forgiveness of all your sins." And then he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of my new covenant. This is my blood, which is being poured out for you for the complete forgiveness of all your sins."